Let's get into some of the mechanistic aspects of the methodology, with Spencer Toner showing us some of the things. They're never there when you need them, are they? Let's go over some definitions. Said you're new. Where do we differ from mainstream handicapping? Primarily in the terminology. Why? Because mainstream terminology is inadequate to handle the subject. I give you one mainstream term that is totally erroneous, the speed. How many of you tragically used this phrase, the speed? No guilty parties, you're all innocent, wonderful. The speed is hanging on today, or the speed is dying today. What the hell is the speed? What you're talking about is the horses that go out and take the lead. You think, you don't anymore, of course. You used to think that being on the lead was early speed. Well, we've demonstrated to you that is not true, and we'll do so further. Horsey sayings like the rail is dead. Well, I've seen the rail dead. I won 5 races on a rail at Del Mar the first 6 days, and when I got back and told everybody, they said, you couldn't have won those because I heard the rail was dead. Well, maybe I lost some on the rail, but when you've got 2 horses, you never really feel them when you lost the one on the rail. But 5 long shots, 1 on the rail. Hollywood Park's supposed to have a dead rail, at least it did last time I heard. And you know what happens? You do a statistic on that. Yes, the rail produces fewer winners in sprints, but you know how many more place horses it produces than any other hole when it produces fewer winners? It's amazing. Don't listen to these hot. And how many of you say, oh, here, you got to, you're one of the starting guys, yeah. What do you think of Pinky's horse? That's a jockey, Pink Eye. Or what do you think of McCarran's horse? Or do you think McCarran will make it today? I said, well, is he running today? Well, you know what I mean. I said, well, what horse is he? I don't know what. And then they look at you like, you're supposed to be an expert? You don't know what horse McCarran's on? My God. How many of you remember when poor old Willie Shoemaker was still riding? There would be guys standing there who would swear on a stack of Bibles that when Willie Shoemaker lost a race, he'd ride by and thumb his nose at him. They say, he's out to get me. Every time I bet on this guy, he loses. If I don't bet on him, he wins. He's out to get me. They run up and down the racetrack, screaming and yelling at this jockey. That would, in the East, it would be that other, or Cordero or somebody. Everybody's got some jockey who's out to get him. Everybody's got some trainer who, every time he bets on him, has the jockey stiff the horse just to get at him. How many of you, any of you guilty of this? Yeah, are you still guilty of it? Will you be guilty of it tomorrow? Good. The jockeys who ride the horses, they don't run the races. Trainers train the horses, they don't run the races. They said, boy, Lucas beat Whittingham today. I said, well, Jesus, Lucas is much younger than Whittingham. He should have been able to beat him. People don't think that's funny at the track. No, they don't. Oh, you did. I'm glad I'm old. Toothless. Because I sure get hit a lot of some of the things I said when I was young. Well, nice to be a judge, Spencer. I've been vamping here. So let's go into some of the subjects that do win. Horses win races. The horse runs the race, the horse wins the race. The best horses go to the winningest jockeys, and it's kind of a vicious circle. They win because they get the best horses. Trainers, if you bet on a trainer, the top 2 trainers, it's your meet, well, try it sometime. Just bet the top 2 trainers every time they run a race and see what you get. You'll be going to somebody's seminar real fast after you do that for 1 season if you have any money left. It doesn't work, folks. They say that a good jockey can add 3 lengths to a horse. Well, if he's going to lose by 6 lengths and he loses by 3 because he's got a good jockey, he still loses. So if you believe in the trainers and jockeys win races, God help you. They don't. But certain statistical evidences in the horses' past performances lines do win races, and we've tested thousands upon thousands. That's why we have a different terminology. Now, anybody let's have some questions here so I won't go rambling on, anticipating what your problems might be. Give me some terminology in this methodology which confuses you. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Baseline,
okay. A baseline is what was called, before we came along, as a running line. A running line from which you take the horse. We're not confined to one line, as some authors have said. You analyze virtually every line, but the word baseline merely refers to the running line of the horse, which you feel it and or in combination with another one is the most appropriate to analyze specifically to evaluate the horse's chance in today's race. You look at all of them, and pretty soon your eye just lights on the appropriate ones, and it becomes kind of an automatic thing. It's kind of like any other habit you get into. Driving your car, you aren't conscious of the fact every time you shift or every time you put your little turn signal on to change lanes. It's kind of an automatic procedure. But when you're first learning to drive, oh boy, you know, especially the old stick shift, man, you put in the little thing with the clutch and just eased it, and everything was so precise, and you had, boy, if you let out too fast, the car jerked and all this. But later on, it became mechanical. That's the same with baseline. Any other phrases that anybody would like? Let's get them all out in the open here, so when we talk about them tomorrow, everybody will know them. Yes, ma'am?
Deceleration.
Okay. You just opened up a real can of worms there. What has every method that you've ever read about been based on? Speed, time, velocity, anything else? I mean, from the standpoint of a horse's running. How fast did it run? Is the essence of all speed handicap. That's the essence of basically a pace handicap. Velocity, speed, thrust, acceleration. Now there is a law of physics that says that for each unit of acceleration, there is a compensating equal unit of deceleration. But, as you engineers know, that applies to infinity. When you test that theory at the various distances of racing, lo and behold, you find it is not true. Horses decelerate at a different ratio to their acceleration at the various distances of races. Now, if speed is so important, how fast a horse runs is so important, is not it equally important to learn how slowly or how quickly it decelerates from one level of velocity to another? Nobody ever thought about deceleration. And in keeping with our tradition, I did. And it has given us a whole new dimension in solving the problem of winning races. And we'll show you some examples throughout this seminar. Deceleration really is the ratio at which a horse slows down as opposed to velocity, which is the ratio of how fast it goes. And that's something that's never been explored, something that you have, it's unique to you people. You're the only ones who have it until next week when someone steals it. But I don't think they'll steal it properly. I think that's a little ways off for them to steal it properly. Because they don't put the effort and the work, the hours and hours of research into it that we have. It takes a lot of research to produce some of these esoteric concepts. Any other phrase that gets you? Yes, ma'am.
Percent median.
Okay, that's very good. The other thing that was never explored by the others until we did, and then they started stealing it. Most recently, James Quinn in figure handicapping swiped our percent early. But we knew he was going to do that, so we came up with percent median, so when he swiped percent early, it was old hat. Percent early was an arbitrary formula I devised for how fast, how much of a horse's total energy was used at the second call. It was an arbitrary formula. It was not based on reality. It dealt with percentages in the 50-50 range. Percent median is the actual percentage of a horse's total energy that it expends at the second call. And how do you figure that? Okay, you take the feet per second value of each fraction. I don't tell anybody this, man. And you add them up, and it comes to like 168, 171, 172 Now you take the feet per second value of the first fraction, you divide the total into that, and you get the percentage of that horse's total energy it expended in the first fraction. Do the same thing with the second fraction, and the same thing with the third. The combination of the first two fractions, which make up the second call, is median energy. I'm getting good at this. I can explain. Did you actually understood what I said? For years I've been doing this stuff, nobody ever understood it. That's why we've lasted 18 years. Huh? He's helping you, isn't he? That's your daddy. He's a good daddy. He just learned it last week himself, you know. Any others? There must be others. Yes, sir. Who? Varigant. Okay, the varigant, variegation is a term used by florists primarily. The color of the variegation of flowers from pink to green, and how is it going to be pink, or is it going to be on this scale of color? It's mostly a color. The cool end of the spectrum or the warm end of the spectrum. Variegation was an attempt to say how the race would run in degrees of early, less than early, on up to late. The only problem with trying to create a variegate is that it's good if the person is an excellent handicapper and puts the right horses in. It's not good if he puts in horses harum scarum. So it was a noble idea, but we don't use it anymore. It was in energy and we took it out. It is very interesting. That is just, in other words, if you want to reduce it to horse racing terminology, is what will be the bias of this particular race. Will it run early or will it run sustained or will it run other than that? Any other questions? You all understand what anything that starts with an E stands for early. Anything that starts with a P stands for presser. Anything that starts with an S stands for sustained. How many of you understand sustained pace completely? How many of you don't? Good, I'll explain that too. Sustained is the combination of the velocity and or energy, depending on which era you were in, of the horse's second call combined with its third fraction. Now let me tell you, and that is how well a horse sustains its early pace. The early pace is just how well it runs the second call. You throw in the third fraction and you average the two, that shows you how well a horse sustains its pace. Some tracks favor sustained pace, some distances favor sustained pace at certain periods of time, and others favor early. But what most tracks favor now, they favor hidden energy. I watched 11 straight races yesterday afternoon and this morning over here at the Prima Donna on the border, and only one of them was won by a horse that went wire to wire. The rest of them were won by hidden energy, which is the combination of the second and third fraction. You all know what turn time is. It's actually the second fraction, which is the hidden fraction. Tom Brohammer blew it to the whole world in his book. And trainers, lo and behold, who used to train their horses to get out of the gate early and try to steal the race, go wire to wire. The trend in the last few years, if you want to do the statistics of track after track after track, that most of the winners have made their winning move on the turn and sustained it through the third fraction. Early pace, as Quirin talked about it in his book, Winning at the Races, no longer wins remotely close to 55% of the races, even the sprints. Most of the races are now won by horses who are not too far off at the beginning, but horses who make their move with the second fraction and sustain it through the third fraction. That is the new trend of racing at track after track after track. It is the reason why people who go from Hollywood, which essentially is early, to Del Mar say, I was doing great at Hollywood, but I can't win at Del Mar. Why? Because they refuse to adapt themselves to the reality of a new track. We have the ability, if people would use it, to know exactly how a track is running from the percentage of energy that is extended by the winning horses relative to the second call, the second fraction, or the third fraction. But what happens, those losing negative habits that we talked about in the beginning take over. You're in the habit of looking for the, pardon this terrible expression, front runner, which is a misnomer. And you get to Del Mar and you refuse to acknowledge what we've printed and told you time after time after time, and look for other than early pace. That's why those of us who are willing to adapt win huge amounts of money at Del Mar, which is difficult to make any money at Hollywood, because everybody can whip Hollywood. And this is why your famous experts, whose names shall not leave my sealed lips, write these articles or get on the television and go 9 losses for 9 races at Del Mar. Famous people, multimillionaire type of handicappers who write bestsellers. Why? Because they refuse to adapt themselves beyond the statistic that they read in by Quirin in whatever it was, 1979 when he wrote that book. It ain't running that way anymore, folks, and probably never did run quite that way. Now, I got an article coming out in American Turf Monthly next month called In the Lead versus Early Speed. If you look at in the lead horses and you conclude that they are the early speed and you don't look at their percent median they win by, you are overlooking one of the most formidable ways of making money in racing. Swale won the Derby and the Belmont on the lead, but was a sustained pace horse. Sustained pace is measured by the energy it exerted late, not by its running style, the fact that it won on the lead. What it did was sucker everybody else to follow it. Secretariat, folks, was a horse that liked to be up front early and take the lead and go on to win by 20 lengths. Secretariat, if you measure every race it was ever in, every race, including the 4 it lost, was a sustained pace horse, not an early horse, as the myth would tell you. Affirmed was a sustained pace horse, even though it won almost all of its races, taking the lead very close to the second for Halal. You must measure a horse's running style by the energy it produces, except for one style. Which style is that? Anybody? Right! Who said that? Good. That's not a beginner. You can only measure in need to lead horses by their position call. Now, the easiest horse to throw out of a race is the need to lead horse. How do you tell that horse? He's got a 1 all the way across until the end, and if he has a 1 at the end, it means he won the race. If he doesn't have a 1 at the end, it means he tried to steal the race and didn't get it. He needs to lead in order to win. So if every time he wins, he has the lead and goes wire to wire, you know it's a need to lead horse. Suppose you have 3 of them in the race today. Look to see what closing fraction they run when they win the race. Contrary-wise, look to see what closing fraction they run when they lose the race and see what fraction the horse that beat them ran. If there's a horse who's hidden energy, which is the combination of the second and third fraction, is sufficient to overcome that horse's early energy, then that need-to-lead horse cannot win today. It's the easiest horse to throw out. But how many of your fellow handicap horse players, I would call them, how many of them look at those need-to-lead horses and say, boy, that was going to, he'll never look back today. How many of them? That's a mortal lock. That's something I'm going to get out there and you're going to look back. Yeah. And there he goes, getting beat at the wire. Those are the best horses to have in a race. Look to see what closing fraction they win by. If they win in like 24 or 25, they're probably going to, and they don't have anybody who can close on that today, they'll probably win. But if they can't, you will be the first to know it. That's the easiest horse to throw. Any questions on this business of early speed and need to lead in? Let's take the questions as they come. What we're going to do in this beginner set to get you all up to the same speed as those who are not the beginner set. And we have a lot of closet old timers here tonight. They're just not admitting it. Any other phrases that are. Yes, sir.
On the three place screen, there's an evening panel, MP panel, and TV.
Okay.
Now, what is the MP? In the literature I read that median pace.
That's the median portion, yeah, that's the pace of the median portion of the race. That's the.
What does that mean?
That, okay, let's. We got one on. You can put on the little. Okay, early pace, it does not conform to the three fractions precisely, but if you want to think of it that way, it's fine. What it means is the first panel is how well the horse ran the first third of the race. And we use internal algorithms which engineers would understand, algorithms which they use to test the stress of bridges and tall buildings where they can find a stress point. We kind of extrapolate beyond just the fractions that are shown on the racing floor through an engineering formula, which are kind of like fractals in chaos physics. So the EP stands for how well a horse did early. Now, and the middle portion shows how well a horse did after early. This is why the horse that hits that second panel first so frequently comes in the money and very often wins, depending on the particular track and distance you're measuring.
The combination of the second and third fraction?
Well, if you wish to think of it that way, think of the first two panels as being the first fraction and second. If you wish to think of it that way. It's not precisely that, but it's good enough. The third panel represents the sum of what it can do throughout, not just the third fraction. That is how the race shapes up, how it should be run. But the best way you can measure how to use that is supposing you find out, like they do, for instance, in Turf Paradise, or some of these, Spokane, these people will tell you the various things they found out about which panel is producing the most winners at their track. If it's coming from the second panel or even the first panel, they're not going to depend on the third panel, and they're not going to be disappointed. I had a fellow in Arizona. He said, all my winners have come to the second panel. You play it? No. Why? Well, I thought you were supposed to bet the horses that came in first and second on the last panel. I said, well, after 17 straight wins coming in from the other one, don't you think you should have learned something? See, you got to use your tools. You can't build the Lexus without using your tools, right? So you can build your own individual Lexus by using the tools and seeing what panels are coming up. Spencer is going to show you that pretty soon, aren't you?
I'm having trouble.
Oh, you're having trouble. Oh, well, I'm glad you caught it tonight. Because those veterans would never let you get away. What was it? Did you burn up your motor or something?
I don't know. No, it's here.
Uh-oh. Well, we'll just muddle along somehow. Any other questions? You understood? I've answered you sufficiently. Good. Any other questions? Let's get these questions. I want you to all be veterans by this time tomorrow. Or first thing in the morning tomorrow. What are you? What's your name? Any other? Yes, ma'am.
It's kind of hard for me to recall exactly how things are put, but when you get into your program, you have the different pies for different...
Pie charts. Okay. Pie charts are... those are also within the program in number form. See, but Confucius and me, we love pictures. And we figured, hey, some people, I would say to them, look at your UXR number, or look at turn time number, and they wouldn't see it. But when you give them a pie chart, and you like throw a pie in the face, hey, look at that, it just graphically demonstrates something that they might overlook when looking strictly at numbers. A lot of people say, I get confused by all those readouts. And my answer is, don't use all those readouts. Don't use anything to confuse you. That's why there's so many. Some people swear up readouts I've never used. Somebody tell me, well, that's the best one you got. Like those kinetic things. I never use those. They're on the page to make the page even, balance it out. I mean, I never could figure out what good they were. It sounds good, kinetic this and kinetic that. Confuses the enemy. And remember, who's the enemy? It's a terrible thing to say, but who's your enemy? I don't mean yourself. Don't put yourself. You're your own worst enemy if you lose, but who's your real enemy in this business? Hey, the guy standing next to you. So what do you want to get so chummy with this guy for? Listening to his opinion. Yeah, who do you like? You say, well, a four horse. I wouldn't bet that horse with your money. You're stupid. So, you know, don't ever tell anybody who you like. You tell a guy, I got five straight winners one day. He looks so down and out and bedraggled. And I said, well, you had a good day. Hell no, I wouldn't bet those damn horses. They're your enemy. And it's unfortunate that the money you're taking from some poor slob standing next to you. So you get chummy with it. Now, the best organization, best group of people at any track to hang around are the inveterate losers. You will always find them together. What you want to do is get one of these tape recorders that's activated by voice and put it in your pocket. Or ladies, put it, hang it by, and walk around these guys. Well, they stepped my horse again. And you hear all these things. and you take them home, and I just listen to all these marvelous sayings that go on by these people who go there. How they get the money to go every day, I'll never know. And you take them home and listen to them, and then say to yourself, did I ever say anything like that? And then you'll say, oh, glad I did just the other day. There, if the grace of God goes you, the losers all congregate together. Winners seldom congregate together. Winners are lonely people at the track. Remember, do you remember the Olympics? They had a song, the whole world loves a winner, you know. That's okay in the Olympics, but the whole world does not love a winner at the track. You are supposed to lose your share. If you start winning, your friends will ostracize you. How many of you are scared to give up your friends for winning at the track? How many of you have to give up, Osh? A lot of friends. Yeah, I see that lonely looking. Fritz, did you have to give up a few of those friends? You didn't have any friends anyway, huh? Good for you. That kind of guy. You're going to have to give up your friends. They do not love you when you win at the track, as you're supposed to lose, and you're breaking society's laws when you consistently win. So it might be nice of you not to gloat. Don't gloat when you win. Give a few bucks to the poor. Give money to the... If it's bothering you winning all that money, if it gives you a guilt complex, give some of it away. Especially this time of year. The Salvation Army needs it, the homeless needs it, the missions need it. So instead of losing and giving it away that way, win it and give it to some good charity. Any other expressions that we've got? You're a fine mess. Another fine mess, Stanley. Yes, sir.
MUV.
MUV is a matchup variable. This is a very important number and it should be modeled if you believe in modeling at all. Zero MUV horse is the horse that has the most energy roughly at the second call. This is a horse that, even if it's not in the lead, it has the energy to be in the lead. The other numbers that progressively get larger below zero represent units of energy and not lengths. They're units of energy. Now, here's how you use that readout. Let's say it sprints at your track. You've never seen a winner come from more than 1.68 MUV. We have a person in Chicago who gets away with this brilliantly. I think Sam Water gets away with it brilliantly. To draw a line, and he won't take any horses below that line. Now, the danger of me telling you that is that you're liable to get rigidly applying it, and apply it after it's no longer valid. It doesn't last. If this week it might consistently be 1.64, then it might go down to 3.38. Weather, various circumstances will change, and distances. Always measure by each individual distance. Do not accept any modeling factor for one distance as being consistent with another. That's a tragedy. The big tragedy is, with our veterans who kept models, is they kept one for a while and said, well, that's the model, and then next year they went on clinging to the same old model, and of course it changes. You've got to be aware of the fact it's an ever-changing situation. But you can model what is as long as it is. And don't worry about all the readouts that you don't understand. Don't use them. Use what you understand, what works for you. That's why it has so many. There are many different personality types. There are many different cognitive powers among people. And some people will see some readout or some series of readouts as crystal clear that tell them everything they want to know. Others will see a totally different set of readouts as crystally clear, telling them that which they wish to know. My favorite readouts, of course, are the pictures. I love to watch the horses turn across the screen. Ooh, look at that. And the deceleration ratio. Now, in our new programs, we're putting in a probability percentage and a odds line. Not for the purpose of value, but for the purpose of telling you that when a horse is going to pay $19, it goes off at less than even, it's supposed to be less than even odds, it gives you the hint that the methodology likes that horse better than any other. Our morning line is based on positive factors from methodology that have proved proficient over the years. Tom Ainsley, as you all know, is a client of ours now. Not only a client, he will be a teaching member in our New Orleans seminar. So you can teach an old dog new tricks. He's a wonderful man. And at 76, he embraced an entirely different procedure from that about which he wrote. and is acting like a kid again. He's a wonderful man. I hope any of you will come to New Orleans and meet him. You'll love him. Questions? There must be questions. Yes, ma'am.
Kinetic potential.
This would apply primarily to the kinetic generator program, which draws little lines of the horses running across the screen. A horse's kinetic potential is that potential which is derived from one or more pace lines in that horse. You see, his ability, kinetic refers to the motion, movement of muscles, which causes horses to run. Each horse is just measured according to its potential, and the kinetic's thrown in there because I like those kinds of words. It's how well that horse can run, and running is a kinetic effort. So therefore, it's called kinetic. You can call it anything you want. How fast is that son of a gun? Same thing, you know. How well can he run? Relative to the other horse. It matters not how well a horse can run. How many of you use the phrase, I like that horse? Oh boy, there's one. I was up in Canada. They honored us in the winner's circle. I got to present a trophy and everything. I started to pet this horse. And this guy, Attenborough, what is his name, that Canadian trainer, he grabs my hand and says, don't do that, you stupid. You'll bite your hand off. And then in Oklahoma, we had another experience. We had a race named after my birthday, and that horse, they didn't let him get close. He was actually trying to bite me from 4 feet away. He hated me. Folks, you'll never hear me say I like that horse. And if you like him, you better not stand behind him, and you better like him from a hell of a distance. How many of you bet a horse? He paid $48 at 10,000 claim. He said, well, that horse, I owe him. Now he goes up to $50,000 allowance and you bet him again. I owe him. If you keep owing the horse every time he wins for you, you're going to owe more than you get. You don't owe the horse a damn thing and don't like the horse. You might like his chances relative to the others. That's why what gets me about these people who won't play $3,000 horses at Yakima Meadows. Hey, he's running against $3,000 horses. A $3,000 horse against a $3,000 horse is just as competitive and just as exciting and with a better payoff than $50,000 or $100,000 or $250,000 or $1 million horses running against $1 million horses. Don't forget it. And don't be contaminated by some damn fool who tells you otherwise. Especially if he's written a book. Any other questions on this? Yes, sir. Let's get this going. I know you've got a lot of questions. You're just shy.
APB and class factor.
Okay, APB and class factor. Write this down, if you wish. APV is a horse's average purse value. It tells you how well he did at a given level, purse level. Suppose he has 120% of today's purse, which is $10,000. That's the level at which it did well. He did well. Or he got whatever he did. He got 87%. That's how he did it at the $10,000 purse. The class tells you, class deal tells you how well it did at the level of its APV. So it's a 47 APV. It was running against lower purses, but he had 120 class level. He was a hell of a horse at 47% of today's purse. If he has 127 APV and a 30 class rating, that means he's been running for big purses, but he didn't do very well. So the balance. If you had to choose one over the other, take the APV. It is far more categorically predictive of a horse belonging to the race. But it's not really a handicapping. It's just so you don't overlook horses that are well above the class level of today's race. It tells you what horses not to overlook. And when a horse has an inordinately high APV, you can look farther back in its ratings for a pace line to use to assess its chances today. If it has low APV, don't go back more than three races. Yes, sir.
Is there a certain kind of races that APV in the class could work much better than others?
All class ratings work best at low class tracks. Class ratings and APV are of minimal value at Santa Anita, Aqueduct, Saratoga, Del Mar, Hollywood Park. As you descend down the level of tracks, go to Fairmont Park in Illinois, With our heart is going, how many class here? Why would we want to put? That's where it counts. 20% difference in APV at a minor track, the horse runs away with it. If you play Yakima, Spokane, well, even Long Acres, even though you don't want to tell anybody who lived up there that Long Acres was not, you know, one of your really top class prizes. It was very valuable there too. And the lower the class of the track, the more important the APV and class level. Not the reverse. And everybody thinks it's the reverse, so you got a little edge there. Questions?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well,
it
all depends. How long have you had it, sir?
3 years.
Okay. When Tom Brohammer had it 3 years, he wrote a book. Then he stopped using it. It all depends on how well you make it work. It can work, but you remember what they said about when I was a child, I played with childish things, and now I'm a man, I put away childish things and all that stuff. One of those guys said that. One of those other messiahs. That's what you want to do. You got to remember, not that phase three is any less proficient than it ever was, but we're more proficient. Everybody's brother has stolen phase one, phase two, and phase three. You can buy it out of Texas, you can buy it out of Vegas. Cab drivers are selling right here in town. I know a couple of them. So it is a matter of we have progressed. If we hadn't progressed and nobody had stolen phase three, it'd be great. But the kind of horses that look, ask Tom Brohan, he's a perfect person to ask. He used to swear by it. But he realizes now that everybody else is privy to the data that was in phase three. It's been stolen blind and it's old hat. Therefore, in order to stay ahead of the people, it's the mutual you get. See, when everybody knows something, like Byer used to moan and groan that everybody knew his speed figures and they weren't paying off anymore, and then he sells them for $1 million to the racing. But I don't quite understand that one, but that's the way it worked. So if it's working for you, then there's nothing wrong with it. If it's not working for you, talk to Tom Brohammer, because he was the greatest devotee of phase three. Or me, I'll. But I don't want to sell you something just because it's there. You have to decide how well it's working for you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm not sure if this is the right time to ask, but on the...
Any time's the right time.
On the APV in class, when you go to put in how many races for the current year, at what number would you decide to go back to?
Okay, the lady wants to know, when you're using APV in class races, the current year, how many, if it's less than six, we used to say use 2 years. I find now that using lifetime class for all the horses is just as valid. Take the lifetime, then you have no question. Then you don't have to ask that question. Just take the lifetime. We found that in the Middle West, it was much better because they had a lot of hidden class situations, but it's true all over now. But don't take the lifetime for one and 1 year for the other. The turf races, take the turf. Unless it has no turf races.
I have another question.
Sure.
Sometimes you'll get a race that has a lot of horses, horses that have a lot of races, but you'll find one or two horses that their last race was their maiden. It's going to put their APV and class through the roof compared to the others.
Okay. Look at the conditions of that race. If it's carded for non-winners of one except maiden or claiming, then it's carded for the maiden winners. Now you check the purse value of the maiden win, only has one. And if it's within a few points of today's or better than today's, that race was carded for that maiden winner and the other just in there, you know, and they said win, there's no lock here. But there are certain races that are carded for maiden winners and are ideally suited for them to win, and there are others that are not. So don't just throw out a maiden, look at the conditions of the race. That's maiden winners win a lot of, non-winners have won except maiden or claiming. If their purse level of their maiden race was comparable to today. See, they're supposed to go up in gradations, and they're not supposed to put in a maiden that just won $5,000 into a $50,000 race, but see, the owner, he gets a maiden, oh my God, I got a world beater here, and he puts it in. Maiden winners look at their turn time. Look at the turn time of a maiden. Maidens get out of the herd and win with turn time. Or else read Brohammer's book, he put that in there too. He just blabbered all sorts of good stuff in that book. Yes, sir, anybody got any questions? Or are you all up to speed here? Yes, sir.
Visual ESP versus computer-generated ESP. If you were going to model one or the other, or should you model both?
Tom Rohrhammer was a great devotee of the visual, because he will tell you you should do both. We don't all have his sophistication. We don't all, and he doesn't try it at tracks where he's not really knowledgeable. He's very knowledgeable about Southern California tracks, and he will use the energy yield at the others. The visual is good for the need to lead horse, absolutely essential. But don't confuse how a horse likes to run from the standpoint of position with how it exerts its energy. Unless you see a horse who always is in the same position. I seldom see a horse that meets this requirement, where he's always third by two or something like that. The visual ESP is fine to know where he likes to be positioned when he does well. You can't tell anything about the visual ESP when he does badly. But you'll find there's amazing consistency in his energy yield ESP, whether he wins or loses. He will try to yield his energy, what little he expends that day, consistently. The difference between getting long shots and getting horses that anybody can is to understand the energy ESP, which really shouldn't be called ESP, but it's, we did it, so there it is. Horses like to run presser, sustain in that area, and if you do, and it's a very good way of picking pace lines, or to see whether the horse belongs in today's race. Suppose you take five lines, you run them all three, all Black Spencer does, run four or five through, and four of them are presser, and one of them is early, or one of them is totally deviant. Don't use the deviant line. If you use the deviant line, you're giving the horse credit for something that's only done one out of five times. It's a very good test of that. We'll show you some programs tomorrow that average all those things. They're a little advanced on that. Questions? Yes, sir.
All the programs that you have out right now, Blue Phase, 1, 2, 3, Energy, Intermittent
Energy,
Acceleration. It's a big confusion for me. I think it might be for some of the other people. Could you kind of go over what each one...
Yeah, that's why I had Spencer was going to do all this thing here until his machine broke down. I'll go over verbally if I can. He wants to know, in case you didn't hear his question, what the various programs do. Okay, Phase 1 is a figure program. It was designed for truck drivers who couldn't balance more than two balls, two pieces of information, in other words, without getting confused. Phase 1 has been stolen by 14 different organizations, some of which used to work for us. It's touted as being